This is Report to Wyoming.
My guest today is Brian Hoos. He was recently announced as the new executive director for the Casper Downtown Development Authority, also known as the DDA. Before that, Hoos was a program coordinator for the Unaccompanied Students Initiative. He also brings nearly two decades of experience to the position in federal law enforcement with the United States Marshals Service, and he does have a doctorate degree from the University of Oregon. He just took over the position mid-July. He succeeds Kevin Hawley, who held the position for several years. In this conversation, I get to know him just a little bit better and hear his thoughts on the downtown area and his vision for the future.
I've been in Casper since 2007.
Oh, cool. What brought you here?
The United States Marshals Service.
Well, what about Casper? Why were you drawn to this community?
I grew up between Michigan and Tennessee. And when I worked for the U.S. Marshals Service, I transferred to the D.C. metro area. And so while I was there, I enjoyed it, but I was looking to transfer someplace that was more like home. Someplace quaint and comfortable, someplace small but not too small. Casper was it. They had an opening, so I took it.
At first I thought, wow, I knew it was windy here, but I didn't realize it was this windy. Now I've gotten used to it.
Yeah, you kind of get used to it, and then every once in a while it reminds you, like, hey, I'm still here, and I'm windier than you thought. Like when you leave Walmart West and it takes you almost off of your feet.
Yeah, today's going to be one of those days.
Yeah.
I dressed like I was going to go golfing today because I clearly did not look at the weather.
Well, and people, they laugh if they're from out of state and you try to explain to them that when you hop on I-25 or I-80, you might see 5 or 6 tractor trailers tipped over because of the wind. Like, you don't see that anywhere. That just is unfathomable until you get on the road and you're like, what is that? What happened? There's another one.
It's kind of magnificent, really.
Wyoming especially. You live, Mother Nature has a big presence in Wyoming.
What do you like to do for fun?
I like art and crafts. My wife and I actually have a little side business. It's her business where we sell crafts and at craft fairs and craft shows and stuff.
Are you going to Funky Junk tomorrow?
We won't be at Funky Junk. We're on the list. We were at the Holistic Fair last weekend. And we'll go to Funky Junk as a family because we like Funky Junk, but we won't be there as vendors.
Now I'm curious, what kind of crafts?
We sell everything from homemade dream catchers. I make these little things called fairyscapes. They're little statues with crystals and fairies and gnomes and critters on them with a little air plant. I sculpt mushrooms. My wife makes the dream catchers and jewelry. We also sell tarot cards and oracle cards, and she's a Reiki practitioner. So at some events, she will actually do Reiki healings and tarot card readings and such too.
Oh, see, and that's another thing in Casper. There is a lot of metaphysical shops and enthusiasts. We did a year ago a piece on, I think, 5 stores were willing to talk to us. I know there's a lot more than that. And that was interesting that there is a lot of enthusiasm around, I guess, would you call it the metaphysical market?
Yeah, I think that what we have noticed in our experience is not necessarily, it's people that come from a number of different backgrounds, and a lot of it is historic. So Casper, Wyoming has drawn a lot of people from all over the world over the last 200 years. And so you have people that have these old world traditions. And so you might have somebody that's very conservative Christian, for instance, but will still sage the house because that's what great-grandmother did back home. And so we encounter people with different backgrounds. Some have a witchy background. Some are Christian. Some are Catholic. But a lot of the metaphysical stuff is not new age, it's very old. And so what you see is just old remedies being used or reused. Like sages and smudges can help with help with tension and relaxation. they have other purposes. And so people are kind of, I don't know if they're going back to it, but they feel more comfortable talking about it and exploring those things.
Oh, I love it. Now, on the history note, and I promise I'm not going to give you a pop quiz, but what I found from the Downtown Development Authority's website is that the downtown area has been established for more than 100 years, maybe about 120 years. Casper started as a railroad and ranch town. I read that Center Street had all the saloons, so women were only allowed to walk on one side of the street. There were alleged gunfights in the early 20th century. It's known as the Sandbar, right, which ushers in notoriety for the area, bootlegging during Prohibition, of course, prostitution. How much of that heritage do you think has carried over here to 2024?
I think, well, when you say how much of the heritage,
Or I guess I should say legacy.
Oh, it's definitely, I think people really appreciate the history. Wyoming was at the forefront, like you said, it was on the railroad. So it was at the forefront of commerce, of travel. Casper in particular, the railroad coming through here, it brought people for the railroad, and then the town stayed, and then there was oil and gas and coal, and people, and the railroads continued to be used for that and to thrive. I think that people are very proud of it. We were at the forefront of technology and modernization, but at the same time, the darker side, the gunfights and the prostitution and that sort of thing, that was just part of the West. That was part of the experience. And not the gunfights themselves, but all of that sort of served a purpose at the time. It was lawless, but there was law. It was the frontier. And I think it really shaped the character of what makes Casper Casper and what makes it interesting. Casper is very modern, but it still has a very historic feel. And if somebody stops on Center Street or they stop at First Street and you look at or Second Street and you look at the buildings and you could see the history, and then you look at the storefronts and you see like modern stores, coffee shops, and where there might have been saloons. But people came because they wanted to work, they wanted to live, they wanted to have a good time, and they're still doing that today.
Yeah, in some ways it echoes the past, in a lot of ways actually. And then by the 30s and 40s, oil becomes a bigger presence, more families start moving in, and then the city, moving away from the downtown area even, but the city starts to develop a whole lot more subdivisions, et cetera. I guess what I want to jump into next is, I kind of think of the downtown area in any city as the heart of the city. Would you agree with that?
Definitely. And if you look at the map, I mean, we are right in the middle. If you look at the way Casper stretches out to, from like the airport to Hat 6, we're still right in the middle. Mm-hmm. and it's still thriving. And we're not just a strip. Some downtowns are just a road with nice buildings on both sides. Sheridan's an example. Sheridan's a great downtown, but it's a strip. Mm-hmm. We're a block system, a grid pattern, and it's bigger and a little bit more expansive, and it feels like the center. It's not just a road through the city. It's a destination.
Right. I love that people call some of the neighborhoods around the downtown area the Big Tree neighborhoods, and that helps you see how long it's been established, because those trees were planted 100 years ago. They're enormous, and then you start to branch out, and you can see, no pun intended, where some of those urban canopies were developed a little later. And I think the city does a really good job of beautifying it. Downtown always looks really pretty. Loved the flower boxes this summer. So I think listeners might want to know how you got started in this role.
Well, I had worked for a nonprofit before this. It's an organization called the Unaccompanied Students Initiative, which is an organization that helps homeless and at-risk youth. And I was a program coordinator there. And it's a remarkable organization here in Casper. It's just in Wyoming. And when I heard about this position, this isn't the position that I have now with the Downtown Development Authority. It's an executive director position that has a lot of it. It's an old position, but it's a new direction. And it was explained to me that they are going to go in an entirely new direction and kind of restart the position. Like it's new again. And it was just too exciting to pass up.
I was going to say some people would tremble at this, but the idea of, I think change is the spice of life. So the idea of doing something you'd never really done before and not knowing, you know, kind of pioneering whatever this new chapter is, that was exciting to you.
It is. And I get to meet a lot of people and I get to learn. There are so many businesses and property owners and stakeholders and residents in downtown Casper, and I'm meeting them every day and hearing their stories, and they all have the same purpose. Their purpose is to see Casper grow and thrive, and they're very passionate about it, but it's a good passion, mm-hmm. and they're excited about it, and it's infectious. I really enjoy that. I really enjoy meeting people that have great ideas, and it's daunting, but at the same time, it's very exciting because there's so much possibility.
And you work with other organizations and nonprofits as well, right? So was I correct about Advance Casper, Visit Casper? What other groups might you guys be working with for this to achieve the common goal?
It's interesting that you ask that. I'm still in the process of meeting people, making appointments. The Chamber of Commerce is another one. Some of our board members are on some of these other are members of some of these other organizations, and so I will be meeting with some of them very very soon. And I'm excited because we do have a common goal. One of the things that I have that I can do that's a little bit different from maybe some of these other organizations is that the leadership in some of those other organizations, it's all volunteer. They have other jobs. But they care about the community. So they've joined the organizations to help the merchants and help the downtown grow. But this is my position. So I can kind of take on more responsibility and take on things that maybe they don't have the time or I'm more able to, I think, take on the burdens because that's what I do all day and I can do that all day, whereas they have to split their time or do it on a day off or on a weekend or in the evenings. And
how do you conceive of growth that is sustainable? We don't want it to get too crowded, dare I say the G word, gentrification that pushes out locals that have been here for a long time. How do you balance, how does your vision balance growth that is positive?
Well, what's interesting is that when I came in to this position, I wasn't sure how quickly we would be moving forward with everything. And change is slow. Change takes time. Growth takes time. Like just building an apartment building or a hotel takes time. It could take a few years from conception to the groundbreaking ceremony to the opening ceremony. I know that all parties, everybody involved, is very concerned with seeing it grow in a way that is accessible to everybody. Property, the the property owners, they want people to rent and to have businesses and shops and live on the property. The property owners want, the merchants want customers that can afford the product. And so everybody is cognizant of that. And I don't see it as being kind of like a tragedy of the commons where everyone's trying to get what they can get out of it at the expense of everyone else. Everyone's working together. And I think that's going to be an important part of my role, is being sort of a team builder and bringing everyone together in a way that we can all kind of communicate our needs and our interests, but in a way that benefits everybody.
Something I probably should have started with is, let's lay out, what is the downtown area? What is your domain?
Oh, it'd be so much easier if I could point it out to you on a map. So we actually have strict boundaries for the Downtown Development Authority, the DDA. The DDA is an organization. It is not a nonprofit organization in a traditional like 501c3 sense. It is funded by something called the mill levy, which is a tax that's administered through the county. But all of the property owners that belong to the Downtown Development Authority vote on it, and every 4 years they can vote for it, and they have since 1987. So the members of that all fit within a certain boundary. Like, for instance, our cutoff is just on the west side of our boundary is between Rocca's and Meat and Makeup. So that road right there, with Meat and Makeup being on the inside. That said, and for instance, the Lyric is not in our boundary. They're across the street from Davis Street Station, which is within our boundaries. Mm-hmm. That said, we still all work together.
Okay.
One of the things that we want to do is increase walkability downtown and encourage walkability. That we don't want it to stay within our borders. We want to see people walk from Rocca's to Davis Street Station, to Frontier Brewery. We want them to be moving around, even if they're going in and out of our boundaries. The same with the Lyric. The Lyric is doing some amazing things. They're not within the DDA, but their presence is crucial. It will be crucial to downtown development in general. I don't know if you've seen the plans for what they're going to do, but it's amazing. They're turning that old theater into old movie theater into a big theater.
Mm-hmm.
That'll house, I think, 1,200 people. That's a lot of people, and they want to host Broadway shows and such. That's a lot of people that will be going and then exiting at 9 o'clock at night, hungry and thirsty and ready to go somewhere. And where are they going to go? We hope that they walk around downtown and enjoy downtown.
It is. I can see how everything works in tandem. Even the city, how they'll have the open container laws. At one point they were even discussing, should we add the open container has like a downtown area where you're allowed to walk around with alcohol in hand.
Yes.
They were debating whether or not to include Frosties and is that technically downtown or not? Ultimately they decided no, because that intersection is nuts. Imagine people walking around with all those different, the confusing lights and such. They said no, but, it is, I can definitely see how so many different organizations, whether nonprofits or not, or merchants, do have that common goal of walkability and making the downtown area somewhere people can really enjoy it before an event, during, after, especially in the summertime. But wintertime, too. There's so many cool things happening.
Yes, and I think that what we all want is to see downtown become a destination again. It was at one time. Downtown, our downtown, just like most downtowns throughout the country, were the place to go. You went shopping. You spent the day there. Things changed maybe in the 80s with the development of shopping malls, and people kind of shifted from the malls to, or from the downtown areas to the malls. Stores moved down there. Some of the downtowns started to see some decline, but we're witnessing the decline of the shopping mall and a resurgence in the downtown area. And the downtown is here and is never going to go anywhere. It's always going to be here. Our downtown has been here for over 100 years, and it's going to keep growing. We want to see people come down again. We want them to spend the day downtown, just like they used to spend it downtown back in the day, like they spent the day back in the mall. Yeah, it gets cold in the wintertime, but this is Wyoming. We're used to the cold. We're going to go sledding and skiing and hunting. We're going to have snowball fights. We don't just stay inside unless the weather is particularly bad. And so people in Casper aren't afraid to be out in the bad weather, and we want to give them a reason to do so, and we want to start having activities downtown and things to draw people in to make downtown fun again.
And I think we have a lot to offer already, a really good foundation laid in terms of stores. I was about to go on Amazon and buy my daughter some volleyball knee pads. Volleyball starts next week. And then I thought about the different local shops that I could go check out first. And we do have so much. And I think sometimes it's a mindset, getting people to shift their perspective a little and think about, it is just as convenient to get the product that day, going in and talking to someone from Casper, get what you want, and then you have it that day. You're not waiting.
Yeah, at some point in time, people shifted from purchasing locally, purchasing in town, to buying things online. And we got comfortable with that. We got comfortable with buying clothes that didn't fit. Mm-hmm. You wait a week for, you try it on, you put it in a box, you send it back, and you wait a week again to get it. We got comfortable with buying shoes that didn't fit, things that weren't the color that we wanted. But we here in those volleyball pads, you might not know what size you needed.
Right, that was part of it too.
And you want to be able to ask an expert, not read comments on Amazon.com to find out if this would be good for your child or not. Mm-hmm. And it feels like there's a trend to go back to that, and we're really hoping to capture that. And to capture that old feeling of being able to go, the Atrium Plaza is changing. I don't know if you've been in there recently or not. They've redone the roof, and they're opening it back up. They took the awnings off the outside, and they're putting in new windows, and where the old windows used to be, and they're restoring it to its original beauty with a modern flair, and they're trying to fill it with retail shops again to get people to come in and go shopping, and because that's what we want, that's what we need.
Mm-hmm. And little places to grab lunch. There's so much business down here, and not all of us are great at meal prepping, myself included. I love being able to run to the new Blue Ridge location or the Lovely Lemon. There's so many. I can't name them all, but it's nice to have places where you can go and grab something or a coffee, because we were talking about so many coffee shops to choose from, and that's lovely too.
You can get anything from a cup of coffee and a scone to just an amazing steak and meal. Mm-hmm. Downtown, and everything in between, sandwiches, soups, and everything. So, and it's all right there.
That's true. This is a very downtown story, but I was eating at Rocca's, one of my favorite places to grab lunch, and I got marinara sauce all over a pair of white pants, and I had a somewhat important interview that afternoon, so then I was able to run over to the Cadillac Cowgirl and go grab a new pair of pants and back to my office, which is, would you consider this downtown? We're on the outskirts of downtown. Right, or a little like maybe a tentacle.
It feels downtown to me. I think it's downtown.
I think I paint the idea of downtown with a very broad brush. To me, it's anything that's past, past the Salvation Army to the river. For me, that's all downtown, that kind of rectangle. But then once you start going past the library, then we're moving on that side a little further away. But, yeah. What are you most excited for? What's on your agenda that you can talk about?
Well, there isn't a lot that I can't talk about because it's all open to public discussion. Even our board meetings are open to the public. Right now, what we're trying to do is find ways that we can represent the downtown. And we're asking people to tell us, which is one of the reasons why I'm happy to be here, because I need people to tell me what they need. The biggest thing that I've been told, and I actually sent a survey out to about 300 stakeholders. I got minimal response back, but one of the biggest things that people ask for is advocacy. They just want to see us getting back to advocating for them and speaking for them. And there's a kind of a story behind that, but which I could go into. But that's the biggest thing, is they just want somebody to speak for them at public meetings, represent their needs and their concerns. And then a lot of their concerns and things that they want are attainable and achievable things that are in development right now, like lighting. They would like to see more appropriate lighting. Well, the city's already working on that. They've already received a grant to help improve the lighting. There's concerns about the unhoused population, and we actually have monthly meetings with the city to discuss that and to look at trends and ways to try and resolve the problem that helps everyone, the unhoused or merchants and everyone. But the big thing is we need people to let us know what they need. So the last several years have been about the creation and development of Davis Street Station. That was created, and then it became its own entity. It's now its own nonprofit. It has its own team, and it split off from the DDA. And now it's run by Whitney, who is of Funky Junk fame. Mm-hmm. And so after that bird left the nest, we have to ask, well, what is going to be our next David Street Station, or what direction do we need to go in? And what we're hearing is, well, we would like to start with some of these smaller things like parking, and we want you to start advocating for us. And now I'm meeting with people to find out how I can advocate for them, how the DDA can represent them.
Where do you guys hold your meetings at?
Well, we just started holding them at the First State Bank, which is at the base of the mobile building. We meet the second Wednesday of every month.
This has been Report to Wyoming, presented in the public interest by Town Square Media.